Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Back to pass, play action. Allen has to throw it out in the right flat to Shakir. He's at the 50, gets away from a tackler. 45-40, 35-30, and rumbles his way down to the 27-yard line. There's the yards after catch.
Chris Brown on the call there. Khalil Shakir, definitely one of the main ascending members of this Bills team. 45 targets last year. He's already at 56 receptions this year. One of the best yak guys in the NFL. One of the best catching percentages in the NFL. I have been on him since Boise State. Josh, I know you were a big fan of his as well. And another big fan of his, joining us now on the West Her Hotline, Aaron Quinn of Cover One. Aaron, my man, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning. It's a little chilly here, but doing all right other than that. How you guys doing?
I mean, the weather thing too. I have been living in bliss with it never getting under 40 like during the day recently.
Crazy.
Like it's been beautiful. I'm like, yes, keep this going. I know global warming's a thing, but like selfishly keep this going. And now finally winter is coming and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, it's been a nice short-term benefit to us up here. And golfers, I know there's a lot of golfers over there at WGR. The season has been extended longer than I thought possible, so not too many complaints.
Personally, I'm very happy that it's starting to get colder. I'm a big winter guy. You sleep better, you feel better, you can wear the big puffy clothes, the vests, the flannels. It's just, it's my type of season. I cannot wait.
I can't do the snow. I can't do it. The driving in the snow and everything, can't do it.
We can agree to disagree.
But Aaron, we're bringing you on here because the Bills are on the bye week, and man, like yeah. They have. To me personally, we were talking a lot about it yesterday too. Have exceeded what I thought my expectations were going to be this year. I always think the Bills can win the Super Bowl with Josh Allen, but they talked about it being a year in transition, and yet here we are at the bye week, half game out of the one seed, 9-2. What have your takeaways been so far?
A couple of things, really. I think if you line it up also with sort of the media perception of the Jets and Miami Dolphins this summer, I think we kind of go about these things in the wrong way and how we define what we think success will be or strength of schedule or predictions early on before football is even played. I am also probably, I'd have to say, if I look back at my predictions, the Bills have impressed me. They've probably exceeded where I thought they would be. But I didn't think the drop-off was going to be as significant. There's a lot of names and recognizable names, and I think there's a lot of emotion attached to those names. But just because national media guys don't know the names coming up, right? Like nobody was talking about Christian Benford. There was a little bit of rumblings. You mentioned Khalil Shakir. Guys weren't talking about some of the things that we, as people that cover the team all the time, knew was kind of in the back burner and why the Bills felt okay releasing and letting go of some of the names, the aging names. And that is what good teams do. And we should have seen this coming when you have a QB like a Josh Allen. We saw it with the Kansas City Chiefs just a year ago. That was also supposed to be a retooling, rebuilding year, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. When you have a good foundation, you have a good culture, you have good front office, coach, and you got the quarterback, a lot of that stuff, it erases a lot of the perception of, all right, we can move on from a Jordan Poyer and we're going to be okay. It doesn't matter as much as it used to.
And I do want to get to Shakir, but as you just brought up there, talking about some of the defensive guys that left as well, this Bills defense, I mean, kudos to Bobby Babich and McDermott, but yeah, I mean, you're seeing Dorian Williams taking a step forward. You've mentioned Christian Benford. The safeties, we've taken a lot of calls here, both on this show and across the station about, you know, come the trade deadline, add safeties or do that, but Damar Hamlin, Taylor Rapp, I thought have been very, very good back there, and then you're getting a lot from Greg Rousseau, who, you know, the sack number's not up there, but the pressure rates, it looks like, have been up there, the QB hits, what have you. They have just built a system, a culture, an organization that just can elevate these young guys when the time is for them to get into the starting lineup.
Yeah, and actually, John Butler was on with Tim Graham after he was no longer employed with the Bills. And one of the things that stood out to me that he did talk about that was a positive was really knowing the defense and finding the guys that are just going to fit, whether it's culture or just schematically, right? And I think Damar Hamlin is a great example of that. He's taken a lot of heat this year. I get accused on Twitter because I defend that it's not as bad as it feels. Are there probably five or six plays he wants back that are big ones and stand out? And I'm sure the post-game show gets calls of people yelling at him? Yes, definitely. But he's better, I think, than people assume, and he's a fit. He went to Pitt, which basically is a farm system for this Sean McDermott defense, so he had years invested in learning this type of defense. And so as he comes into year four, he's already ahead of the game and being a system fit and knowing where he's supposed to be. Is he the most athletic guy? No. Is he making the biggest splash plays in the league? No. But he's pretty much always where he's supposed to be. There's a couple run fit issues, but that's everywhere around the league. And so he's one example. Christian Benford is another one. No one was talking about him in the draft process. And Butler kind of talked about guys like him and Dane Jackson specifically as there's a certain type of DNA you need to play in this defense, and the Bills are really honed in on what kind of guys they need, and you're seeing that kind of play out. And it's depth guys like a Casey Tuhill, another kind of under-the-radar signing, and every time he's in, he's making, again, not big splash plays, but he's doing exactly what he's supposed to. But then you have it on the high end, too. I think somebody that's not getting enough credit, and there was a lot of off-the-field issues with him last year and then obviously facing the suspension this year, but coming off an injury, the big contract, a lot of kind of negative vibes going towards Von Miller, and he's actually playing really well, and I think he's going to be big down the stretch as well. And so they're getting it out of the guys that are the high ends, your Greg Rousseau, your higher draft picks, but also it's the depth and knowing what you need in those positions. Another guy, Ed Oliver, you know, had an injury earlier this year, but over the last 3 weeks, seeing him build more and more and being that disruptive presence, they just find right fits, and they're able to let guys go. We saw it a couple years ago, Tremaine Edmonds, another player who we defended a lot as he's a really good player, and we were worried about his departure. But then Terrell Bernard steps in and makes you not even worry that you lost a good player. And so they continue to just draft and develop, and that's a really, you know, there's a lot of flaws with Sean McDermott that people want to talk about, but being able to, with him and Bean in lockstep, drafting and developing, look at what's going on with the Jets right now. They've drafted well mm-hmm. on the high end, top end, but their depth's not there. When injuries happen, it's not there. The culture's not there. They've done a great job of doing it, and I think you see it on the field with the defense.
Another guy in the defense that I've loved so far this season is Terrell Bernard. Obviously, he hasn't played every game here yet, but, you know, it just it feels like he's out there and can completely control that defense. And there's one highlight from the Bills Chiefs game this past weekend where, you know, you see him tap at Oliver to get over and cover that QB sneak or potential for a QB sneak. And that the awareness there is just insane for me. I mean, his season so far has been fantastic.
He's been fantastic. Eric Turner, I got to give a shout out to him. He saw this coming from a mile away of just what type of player he is. He's always got that iPad in his hands when he's seeing with pictures. Like, this guy's a student of the game. And here's the thing. The separation of talent across the NFL, it's not huge, right? Like, there's talent on every roster. So it's the extra stuff. It's the small stuff. in Bernard's view in it. You heard Sean McDermott talk about it this week. It's just all the attention to detail, the preparation. And he had that on one of the touchdowns. It was a slant in the red zone. You can see him signaling to Taron Johnson. I love Taron Johnson. I'm not trying to get on him, but Taron, it was a miscommunication. You could see the passion. Like, Bernard saw the play coming. He knew what it was going to be. He communicated it right, and somebody didn't pick that up, and it resulted in a touchdown. But that's happening. I watch defensive all 22 every single week, and he is the guy. You're right. He almost sees every play coming before it's there, and that's just attention to the details, to the preparation, and it speaks volumes of, again, the type of DNA guys are getting. Nobody was on Terrell Bernard when he was drafted, and people were kind of like, you know, what are you doing? You have Tremaine Edmonds. You have Matt Milano. We need offensive linemen. Why are you drafting this guy? Same with Dorian Williams. You know, he's not at the level Bernard is, but people were like, you just drafted Terrell Bernard. What are you doing? They have a vision for what they want this roster to be, and it's paying dividends.
Yeah, I remember doing those draft shows, Aaron, and both those picks came in, and you're like, okay. And the positive side, what you were thinking is like, maybe one of them will be the Tremaine Edmonds replacement. I mean, that was how you took it, and then now looking at both of them, they've got two incredibly good young linebackers on this football team, and maybe getting Matt Milano back here relatively soon, exciting there for the linebacking core. On the offense, though, Aaron, Khalil Shakir, I thought, him and Kincaid, I was very, very excited for most of the offseason. I like the addition of Curtis Samuel. I kind of understood the vision of Everyone Eats. But for me, in the summer, in August, I thought it was going to be, that'll be fine because Shakir and Kincaid are going to be kind of their number ones, their dual number ones. They haven't gotten Kincaid going. We'll talk about him here in a second. But Shakir, I feel like he's a top 20 wide receiver in football, not just slot receiver. He just feels like he does everything well.
Yeah, I've loved it, what he has shown since before last year when he really came on. You saw it coming. You saw the trend going in the right way. It took a while to replace that production that Cole Beasley left this offense with, right? That security blanket role in the slot, which is so important to Josh Allen in this offense. It took a little bit of time to figure that out. And Shakir has like blown that ceiling wide open. That's no disrespect to Cole Beasley, really one of the better slots of the last decade, but what Shakir offers is so much more. He can do those things. He can find the soft spots and zones. He's an intelligent player. He's so reliable at the catch point, but he's shifty, obviously. People see the yards after catch ability, which is something everyone has wanted in this Bills offense for years. Make it a little easier on Josh. We don't need explosives to all come from air yards. You need to be able to get guys the ball, make them miss guys in space. But the most important thing in his development this year, I think, is Brady and his development. One of my biggest issues with Dorsey was not being able to manufacture touches for your playmakers in space and get them the ball. We didn't really see that, right? It was within the flow of the offense and option routes and Josh having to make those reads and find guys. There was a game a couple weeks ago where they went at Shakir like five times in a row on these little screens and dump off plays. And he just made plays happen. And getting your playmakers the ball in space is huge. And I think that's been the real leap in Shakir kind of getting on the national stage is Brady's ability to say, hey, if he's not getting the ball in within the structure of the offense, he's such a playmaker. We got to find those ways to get him the ball. And he's dialing some of that other stuff up for, we saw some of these like swing passes that go to Cook, but it's really like a lead swing pass. They haven't really hit. KC really wrapped them up really good this week. Those are going to break at some point. You're seeing more and more of that. And I even think Kincaid is getting some of those looks. Unfortunately, Josh Allen is kind of missing him on some of those ones, which make the Kincaid stats feel a little worse than they probably ought to look. But hats off to Brady for being able to dial up specific looks for specific players to try to get them the ball.
Yeah, and on Kincaid, you just mentioned it there, too. I mean, we were talking last week. Joe Marino, I think, jumped in as well. For me, I definitely phrased it poorly on Twitter because I try to write it out in the proper character limit. But for me, I don't think it's him. But, yeah, is there a chemistry issue with him and Allen? Because then, I mean, you see against the Chiefs game, I know Allen's not the greatest deep ball passer, but he puts a rainbow ball on Amari Cooper, where with Kincaid, it just hasn't really gotten going yet. They don't really seem to want to use the tight ends a ton, which is fair. That's fine. But for him being a first-round pick, maybe selfishly for me, I did sort of expect a lot more. Not what Brock Bowers is doing or even to be Travis Kelce. But, I mean, Sam Laporta last year, not really this year. They're finally getting him going. But, walk me through it a little bit here.
The way I'm viewing it is, one, I think a lot of defensive coordinators saw the vision that we as Bills fans saw going in the year, right? Like, this guy's a weapon. We have to keep attention on him. That takes away some of what the Bills probably want to do, but that opens things up for other people. I think that the threat, whether or not he's productive or not, the threat of that production exists when teams are game planning. Some of it's just luck. Mm-hmm. Right, some of those shots it's not on Josh, it's not on Dahl. I mean, it is on Josh if he misses, but those are not high efficiency plays. The one that he got hurt on, that's a deep shot.
Yeah.
Those don't hit at a high efficiency. We had that kind of conversation with Josh early in his career. I think they're going to come. I think you still go to them, you still work at those. There's been moments of production. We saw even this weekend some of the, like, a screen to Knox. I think if Kincaid gets that, there's probably 5-6 extra yards on top of that. And so it's going to come. And for me, as soon as a guy's in the building, I remove the draft pick. I know it's hard for people to do. Mm-hmm. There is an expectation that comes with the draft pick. But for me, it becomes, okay, now I've got about a 3-year development window. Can this guy hit those kind of expectations within a 3-year development window? You're seeing it with Greg Rousseau, right? Like, he didn't hit that window right away. There was some concerns that, hey, is this going to be another one of Brandon Bean's bust? Ed Oliver was the same way. We do see guys come into the league right away and have immediate success and hit that draft, expectation. But more often than not, those are the anomalies, and the averages are still a development of a 2-3-year window. And I know Sean McDermott's talked about that before, that, you know, we got to take the pressure off some of these guys and allow them to develop as players. I see development in Kincaid's game. There's still more meat on the bone for him. I'm excited about the future, and I think as he gets back here healthy, when you get a stable of, now we're seeing Curtis Samuel healthy, defenses are having to target in on Khalil Shakir more. Keon Coleman's development has been really good. It stinks to see him get hurt. But if you can get, I don't know if we'll get all these guys healthy back at the same time, it's going to open up a lot of things for a lot of players. And I think Kincaid will eat because of that development of everyone else.
So you brought up Curtis Samuel a little bit there, and he by far had his best game as a Bill this past week against Kansas City. Do you think it's been injury? Do you think it's been trying to get involved in the offense? Like, what is there more to come with him, you think, or where are we going there?
I don't know if there is more to come, but I was definitely an advocate of kind of pumping the brakes on the frustration with him early in the season. He was suffering a turf toe injury this summer, right? And that's one of those injuries that's so annoying because it sounds like it's nothing, right? Turf toe is such a bad name for it, for actually how tough that can be for an athlete to overcome that injury and play through it. He was overcoming that, and then he got the pec injury on top of that. And so, again, Sean McDermott kind of talked about that. He's been very resilient in playing through injury to get here. And as other guys got injured, he was kind of forced into a spot. I know there was a lot of frustration of, like, hey, Brady didn't get him going. I think they tried. He just wasn't fully healthy, wasn't fully ready. And again, as other guys are stepping up and making plays, if he's your fifth receiver option, like, defensive coordinators can only throw so much attention at so many guys. And if the Bills get healthy, you've really got to pick your poison. And that's where I don't think on a consistent week-to-week basis, Curtis Samuel is going to be a big-time player, but there's going to be certain matchups where teams are bracketing Kincaid or they're trying to stop the screen game with Shakir. And, like, one of the plays Greg and I keep talking about is that screen. You've seen teams kind of step up into it and swat some of them away. I'm waiting for Brady to set up that screen and have Samuel just, like, leak out the edge and come down the seam. And I think that's where he's going to expose some plays. He still has explosive playmaking speed. And so, again, I don't think it'll be a week-to-week thing where we see a lot of success from him. But as wide receiver 5, what an option to have.
Yeah, it's weird now looking back just a month or so ago. I know Nate Geary tweeted out as well. Like, the wide receiver position is now, like, one of strength, where not that long ago it was a real concern. You're getting Curtis Samuel healthy. The Keon Coleman development as well. Aaron, you quickly mentioned that his development's been really good to see. It is a shame he got hurt. Yeah. I was not the biggest Keon Coleman fan coming out of Florida State. I was much more of an Adonai Mitchell guy. Like, that's who I had zeroed in on for the Bills. But sure, I have been so impressed by Coleman as the weeks have gone on. Really, for me, his best game, maybe not stats-wise, the Seattle game. I thought he was a true, honest-to-God difference maker in that game.
Yeah, and again, I think it's culture fit, right? Like, mm-hmm. so many people, I know your guys' station was blowing up over the Worthy stuff, right? And
oh, I know.
Even one series into that Chiefs game was like, oh, God, look at what he can do. But I watched back that film, and Worthy's not there. He's not ready. His development's still not quite there. I mean, the Bills eliminated Kelce from that game, and they eliminated a lot of the weapons, and they didn't go at Worthy, and I think that's because they don't trust in him entirely. And Keon Coleman's just a fit. And another guy who's not getting enough credit, we just talked about these receivers, Mac Hollins. People were really hard on Mac Hollins to start the year, and I think it was because he was thrust into a role that isn't really a fit, and once you got Amari Cooper, he could kind of settle back into the role that is. I know, again, Twitter's not real life, but a lot of people have seen Valdez-Scantling doing well in New Orleans, and to me that's more a product of, hey, there's not a lot of depth there. There's injuries there. It's an opportunity thing. Again, I think the margins are slim in talent, so good on him for doing that. Mac Hollins is such a better all-around wide receiver and what he's able to bring to the Bills and the small details and things. So this is a well-rounded room, lots of different weapons, lots of different options. And again, it's buy-in from all these guys in development and getting the right culture fits. And I think that's what you're seeing starting to kind of take shape here as we get towards the end of the season.
So, Aaron, with the Bills on a bye week this week, what is your plan with viewing the NFL? Are you going to take it a little bit off, or are you going to look around at some of the bigger name teams in the AFC? What's the bye week have in store for you?
Bye week for me is honestly just sit back and enjoy football. I love every ounce of it. Right now, the way I'm looking at for the Bills specifically is they just got to handle their own business. The games that I've seen them lose, like the Ravens definitely gave it to them a little bit, but I feel like the Bills really lost that game more. And same with the Texans game, the Bills really beat themselves in that game. And so get healthy for the Bills, and I think that they can beat anybody. I'm not worried about, you know, other teams and what they're doing as much as sitting back and enjoying the NFL. And the Bills are in such good position that, yeah, there's probably a couple of games that I'm going to cheer for certain outcomes so that maybe the Bills can clinch up the division a little bit sooner. But they've done everything they've needed to do to this point at the bye, where my only concern for the Bills is, hey, who are the guys that are going to get healthy here and come back for San Francisco and Detroit and in the LA game here over the next month? Other than that, I'm just sitting back and enjoying football.
Aaron, man, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. What do you guys got cooking over at Cover One?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Make sure you're following on YouTube, throughout social media. We got all the guys are working really hard to bring content for Greg and I this week. We were having Aaron Schatz, I know a friend of the station here, mm-hmm. on to talk about DVOA, one of my favorite stats, and how that impacts the Bills and what to look for and the predictive nature of that. And then Greg and I are going to kind of run through some of the remaining schedule and how playoff scenarios could shake out and seeding and stuff like that, which is so much better than years past in the drought of being around Thanksgiving time and starting to look at mock drafts. It's way cooler to sit and look at playoff scenarios versus mock drafts. So we're excited for that.
It really is. Growing up with the Bills drought, this was mock draft season. And I mean, that's kind of why I became a draft junkie. But yeah, I mean, even today, looking at the Bills could be playing the Broncos and envisioning that matchup, way, way more fun. Aaron, man, thanks so much. Enjoy the bye week. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
That was Aaron Quinn on the Wester Hotline over at Cover One. Again, great follows, all of them. A lot of good film study, breaking everything down. I know I go to them a lot to get a better picture. We did it with Kincaid today. I mean, I was someone that was very much down on him, and Aaron kind of, you know, set me straight a little bit on all that stuff. But we've also both been big Khalil Shakir fans, really, since he came out of Boise State. I will say the one thing I did not get right on him is I thought he'd be like a baby Deebo Samuel. They used him in the run game enough to where I was like, now wait a second, that could be really, really fun and interesting. And it never ended up materializing yet. It has not materialized yet. I think it could still work. And as Aaron mentioned there too, the screen game and what they've got going there, there's going to be a game or two with both him, Kincaid, Samuel, that it could break. And I'm really like when the Bills offense is at. My only issue, and they didn't really have it last week, but it has been an issue this season, has been the slow starts. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I'm worried about. But if they got that, maybe that full complement of wide receivers, or at least close, which they could hopefully be getting here in the next few weeks, that might be changing here coming up.
It's funny because like we brought up Shakir and stuff like that, and we were talking before the segment started, and obviously you and Derek are like the leading voices for the Shakir Hive and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I was I don't know. It's funny. I'm always like the third forgotten member because I was quietly cheering on from home because you guys were here doing the draft coverage, and I'm just like, this is great.
Well, I was sitting where Evan is sitting now too, yeah. And they picked him, and my arms went up because like I think the month or so before the draft, I'd like kind of like dove into his film, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I like him.
Yeah,
like this is good.
You were the reason why I got on board with it. It's just I always think it's funny that it's like you and Derek leading the charge, and I'm just here as like a quiet cheerleader.
Like, hey, yeah. Woo. 803-0550 is the number to call. Going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Sal Capaccio joins the show as he gets ready to take his much-deserved little break here with the Bills on the bye. We'll get his thoughts on the Bills being 9-2, half game out of the AFC, and plenty more in the NFL after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.